Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock-O-Nation podcast show. Oh, Knock-O-Nation podcast show.
Hey-o, it's another episode of the Knock-O-Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That is the one and only J.T. Holton. What's up, J.T.?
Hey, buddy. As Mark Twain said, rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Greatly exaggerated, huh?
I am not dead yet.
I'm glad, and glad you didn't quit the show.
No.
We try to quell those rumors as quickly as possible. That being said, Josh is not with us tonight. Rumor has it he might have quit the show. Nah, not really. He really didn't. But we're not taking applications specifically from you, Ashland. Just saying, you may have asked. So just to be clear. JT, how you been, buddy?
Doing good. I had a bacterial infection, and so I take some antibiotics to clear that up. I have Crohn's disease. You said special medical issues, so I'm like, oh good, everybody thinks I have a brain tumor. No, I don't. I'm just bald naturally.
Well, I got into that sentence, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if JT wants me telling everyone.
We were listening. We're backing out of the driveway, and Mallory's like, I never listened to the show. Let's hear it. So I put it on, and you said that. I was like, now everybody thinks I'm a Make-A-Wish kid, and that's why I'm on the show. It's like, no, I'm not dying. Sorry, I'm not.
JT's gonna shave, and everyone's gonna think he's taking cancer treatments.
No, I'm okay health wise. But it gave me a fever of like 102, 103. Ooh, and that sucked. And so Thursday morning, like I got out of the shower, was ready to go to work, and just started like full body shivers. And
oh god,
I was like, I gotta go to the ER. And so when I was there, they gave me some medicine. The medicine was just, I've been on the medicine before, and then they gave me like a 500 milligram. Cynthia will tell you what flagyl, and it stinks. Okay. Oh, it's the worst. It's like being seasick. And so Saturday I went to another clinic and they changed up my medicine, and that worked a lot better.
Okay.
It got me feeling better. But they gave me a corona test and all that other stuff while I was there just to make sure. And
JT, knowing you tested positive for corona, right? Like 12-pack, 8-pack.
I wish. A corona light with a side of Lyme disease. They told me, they were like, look, we're 90% sure you don't have it, but would you want one? I was like, yeah, everybody's getting corona tested. Let me fit in with the rest of society. And
so, yeah, let me tell you this story, though. This person that works with someone I know, I have to be cautious how I tell the story, with someone I know, he was sick, you know, he had eaten. Now, this is the story after the fact. He ate some leftover seafood. Like, you don't really do the leftover seafood thing unless it's impossible.
No, seafood is a challenge to, like, okay, I have to finish this tonight because...
Right, like, you might get away with pasta because you can reheat it so much.
Maybe, like, it works. Small shrimp.
Right, like exactly. Yeah. But, like, that's about the limit of
like, seafood. Hibachi, Japanese kind. Yeah, maybe that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, this fella had done that, and so then he was up puking his guts out all night, and... So he goes to the ER, and while he's there, well, they ask him, said, well, would you like to be tested for corona? And he says, yes. The only problem is the place that he works is a medical facility of sorts, and simply getting the corona test then made it so that he had to quarantine for 7 days until the results came back, and he put the entire store... like down an entire man for no reason when he absolutely positively knew that it was actually food poisoning that he had.
So he knew it was food poisoning.
Well, I mean, you ate leftover fish and then were up all night puking your guts out. What do you think, JT? I mean, like,
right. I mean, if you're cracking like crab legs open the next morning.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You're in for a bad time.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you can't finish it, just toss it.
He hasn't been coughing or sniffling. It's all blowing out his rear or vomiting out his mouth. Like, you don't have COVID. You know what I mean? Like, it was quite the quite the moment to know someone connected to that situation was they were very angry, to say the least, you know, like,
right.
Like, because you put the entire store at risk of losing work because you are being an idiot.
And because, like, once, like, when I told people, I was like, look, I've got a pending corona test out there. I'm 90% sure I don't have it. But everyone's like, oh, like,
right, right.
We had a going away party for our one of our preachers here in town that I was like, well, I can't go. And I was like, I'm not about to go to this party and intermingle people knowing I have a, I mean, what if it does come back positive? Then I'm a jerk and I've put everybody at risk. And so you kind of have to, everybody looks at you like, you know, but then once you get the green light, you know, okay, I thought it was normal.
Of course, now JT Corona's over. Like, the entire world's been gone.
Sad last week.
I was cracking up. The governor of Michigan today posted a video of, or she did like a big speech saying that people could still not go to the hair salon, that the hair salons were not allowed to open in Michigan. And I'm like, you know, half of America is shoulder to shoulder in
and people are at Disney World, people are at the beach,
but you can't open a store to get a haircut in Michigan.
People are to the point, honestly, people are to the point where there's going to be your select few, like Josh's friends, who are like, we're not leaving the house till there's a vaccine. Well, those people don't get invited out anyway, so it doesn't matter. But majority of people have reached their breaking point, and they're like, look, we got kids. It's June. Yeah. These kids want to get out of the house. I want to get out of the house. We're going to damn Disney World. We're going to Destin. We're going on vacation. See ya. Because I know all the places in Florida. I just got back there. Before they even officially opened, all the private owners that own condos, they weren't supposed to do it. They're taking money under the table because they didn't get any spring break dollars. So that condo they own, come on. My ex-wife's taking the kids this week down there with her parents. They got the place for same place they stayed at last year for $1,000 less than they paid last year because they're like, take it, please. We need, we're desperate for tenants to come in because we didn't get any money. Like, people are afraid of it going, you know, vacant and just having a bankrupt summer. So people are getting out of it. People are going back to the beach. People are, you know, getting back to life. Okay, Michigan, whatever. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, well, if you were trying to plan a way to blow up America, you couldn't come up with a much better scenario than to lock everyone in their house for 6 weeks, give them all extra check with a little bit of extra money, and then threaten to take all that money away from them, and then just sit back and wait for someone to do something stupid like kill someone, you know? And then the whole country goes up in flames because everyone in America is on edge. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if irony is the right word, but it is. I don't think you could have drawn up a much better picture for how to create division and chaos and everything else. It's worked pretty well. But we're not going to talk too much about that. JT, tell me this, man. What did you think of 50-game baseball?
I'm not a fan of it. I tell you why. I mean, of course, baseball is baseball, and we'll be happy to get whatever we get. 50 games in baseball is such a small sample size.
Very.
I don't know this off the top of my head, but the rumor has it the Washington Nationals won a World Series. I need Boggy here to tell me what their record was after 50 games, but I remember it being not very good.
Yeah, wasn't very good. No.
Right. And so I could see it. Here's the reason I don't like it is because I don't want – we just got over this whole thing with the Astros winning and it being an asterisk and it wasn't a real championship. Like, let's say a team like
can we officially Padres. Change it? Can we officially change it to an asterisk?
Asterisk? That's, yeah. It's like a Russian
asterisk. Well, that way it's like Astros, asterisk, asterisk. Yeah.
Let's say a team like the Padres gets off to a hot start.
Yeah.
And they make the playoffs at a 30-20 record, which isn't unreal to
very
say the possible. Padres could be 30-20.
No, right. Very possible.
And then they just, you know, get some good pitching and get some good bounces.
Was it last year or the year before when the Dodgers started off and
terrible.
Lost like they lost like 20 of the first 30 games or something.
They
were
like 35-50 almost or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, they were bad. And then came roaring back, made the playoffs.
And they were still the Dodgers like we all thought they were. But what if the Padres get hot and they end up winning the whole thing after winning 30 games in the regular season and end up being your World Series champion, San Diego Padres? Is anyone going to accept, besides Padres fans, is anyone else going to be like, oh, yeah, that's normal? No. Oh, yeah, they probably would have been the World Series champion in a normal year.
Yeah, right.
course not. And I just don't want that to happen. I'd much rather it be like, oh, the Dodgers won a World Series. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool, because they're good.
Okay. I would rather them do it, like, if you're going to do this and you're going to do 50 games, like, don't even, like, cancel the World Series, as we call it, for this year. And then we're going to do a very unique and special tournament. And we're going to call it, like, copy the College World Series format or do, like, some sort of regional round robins. And you're going to, like, the winners get to advance. But, like, make a big deal of it being a very different thing, you know. So it's not the same. So, like you say, so it doesn't feel tainted or less than if somebody wins it all. Instead of winning the World Series, they won the Commissioner's Cup, which sounds stupid. You could just be like a jockstrap. But I'm just saying, you know, like,
right,
like they won something special. And then, you know, if it's a big hit, then work it out so, like, once every 10 years you do it. You know, like a real special thing where, I don't know, maybe you do the round robin tournament replaces the All-Star game at some point as an actual interesting thing. You know, I don't know. But yeah, do something very different. I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't think 50 games is enough to get the feel of a baseball season in, you know, because I think Bobby Cox always said, like, you need 30 games to really figure out your team.
Right.
You know, and I remember hearing that and thinking, dang, that's a long time. But no, not in a 162-game season. It's not. But by 30 games, then your bullpen's starting to mold and you're finding out who fits in what spot.
Right.
50 games, you ain't got time to figure any of that out.
No,
it's
right.
Just go.
Like, I don't even know. What's weird, JT, is this. It's a lot more than a college season still,
yeah,
right? Like, I don't know how many games college
plays.
Well,
play, no, college, it's up there. It gets up there.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't realize it was that many.
It's when you, they play quite often. They're, you know, I'd say about 5 games a week, so it might be close.
56. 56,
okay, and then your postseason, okay.
Right. Regular season's 56 games. So, I mean, I think you could make it work. The difference in college ball is they're not playing every day. You know, like
they're not playing every day, and you basically have all offseason. These are your guys. Like, there's no other options.
Right.
There's no minor league to call guys up from. If your bullpen sucks, your bullpen just sucks. If you're,
there's,
you know,
no,
what I mean?
Trades. We're not,
there's
trading.
No trades. You're not
right. Right.
You're basically, if your talented teams are probably going to win because there is no roster maneuverability.
Yeah.
You're not settling guys in. Oh, this guy came up at, you know, after Memorial Day from Double A and ended up, you know, being third on the team in home runs. That happens in a regular season of baseball. In college, you've got like a really good pitcher that goes on Friday nights and a pretty good pitcher on Saturdays, and then, you know, you'll find your Sunday starter and, you know, some other guys here in between. And, you know, it's just, you got a bunch of dudes too in college that will pitch and play third base.
Right.
Or, hey, my closer is also my left fielder.
Yeah.
You know, you get those all the time in college. It's still that way. So it's very old school baseball where it's like, you know, the bottom of the ninth and the left fielder is running in to take the mound.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And, you know, so which actually is a really awesome idea.
It's an awesome idea. Yeah, I wish they did
too.
Like, you actually had to play multiple positions.
Here comes Acuna on to close the game.
Yes, I would love it.
Like, do I not want to see how fast Johan Camargo can throw a fastball? Hell yeah.
Could you imagine? Andrelton Simmons is our closer. He plays shortstop and he closes. You know?
You're telling me Camargo would be an awesome closer.
Oh,
he's got the face, he's got the look, you know,
the
intimidation. He's got the
cannon.
I don't know if he knows any secondary pitches, but I know he can throw a ball hard.
Yeah.
And hey, you know.
Hey, the end of the games will be interesting then, you know. Like, you
right,
might be
no
scared
doubt
to stand up there because you might not know if it's going to hit you in the
We
ear.
Should go full on college rules like that. Aluminum
full
bats,
on.
Everything.
Oh,
everything
God,
like
yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be fun. College baseball is a sneaky, really, really fun sport. Like,
it is
awesome.
Yep.
And when you've got a team in it, the College World Series, the way they structure the playoffs with the regionals and the super regionals and then Omaha, and you've got a team in it, man, it is a must-watch TV. It is addictive. It is so good.
Yeah, and I think most fans miss out on it because it's so poorly covered. I feel like college baseball, but like, so here's my problem watching a college baseball game. I know nobody. I know zero people actually playing.
Yeah.
Even prospects. Like, I don't know what team a prospect plays for. I just know
even if I'm
clued in, I don't pay attention. Like, I think in the last – okay. So in the last few years, players I actually remember watching at the college level Harold, what, Kumar Rocker?
Yeah.
Almost
yeah.
said Harold for that, and Kumar. Almost Harold said and Kumar.
Because that was it a perfect game or a no-no? I can't remember. Was it perfect game?
I don't remember, man. I know it was at least a no-no. Yeah. But
his dad used to coach at Georgia, by the way.
Yeah, Tracy I remember Rocker, Kumar Rocker. Also, I remember Seth Beer in Clemson.
Because the name, yep. The I name. Remember Seth Beer.
Plus, I'm a little close to Clemson here, so, you know, we yeah. get a little more Clemson news. And I remember Kyle Wright pitching at Vandy. Yep.
Vandy.
And, like...
I remember David Price back in the day. And
I did back in the day, yeah. Vandy. I don't remember Dansby at Vandy. Like, I wasn't, like, connected at that time. So I
know
you remember
I know you remember Gordon Beckham back in 2008. I remember Gordon Beckham. He was a big deal at Georgia.
Yeah. But, like, for the most part, I don't know the players. And right. so it makes it hard to watch the game when I'm only just, like, rooting for the school. And I don't even know what to expect. Like if I'm watching the Braves... I know Freddie Freeman's up. I should be, like, expecting a jack here. You know, like, or the possibility of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Rafael Belliard is up. You know, I'm right. expecting a slow single to first. Like, I don't have a clue who these guys are, so I don't know what to expect. And I guess some people would find that more interesting. But when I'm watching college baseball, I don't have that connection. Like, I just don't know what to yeah. expect.
I hate we didn't get a season this year, really, because Emerson Hancock at Georgia's top five pick in the draft.
He's a big. See, I didn't even know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll know the name Emerson Hancock come up. But that's the thing about baseball is, okay, we don't know these kids in high school because, honestly, the best, you know, Major League Baseball draft guys and prospect dudes will tell you, they can tell you right now who the top 10 picks in the draft probably will be.
Right, right.
You know, people that read Baseball America will know that. But the majority of people don't. Those major guys go to the pros anyway.
Right.
There is no real market for college baseball recruiting, not in the way there is with football. You know, like as a Georgia fan, I can tell you the top prospects in football that I want Georgia to get. In baseball, I'm like, okay, cool. I trust that they're good, you know. And then, you know, once they get good and get drafted into the major leagues, you probably don't hear from them for two or three more years anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember like the kid at Auburn that was drafted number one a couple years ago, Casey Mize. He's supposed to be a pretty good pitcher for the Tigers. But we haven't seen or heard or seen him, right, since then. So it kind of disappears from your conscience.
And it's crazy.
They pop up later and they go, oh, I remember that guy.
What's crazy is like 20 years ago, a guy would go from college and he'd be starting.
Yeah, like Roger Clemens, like walking the door. Bob Horner, like walked in the door at Arizona State.
Suck it up, son. You're going to learn, you know? Right. And I'm not saying every guy should be that way, but you used to have somebody that was that way. And now it's almost like, I mean, you could probably name on one hand the number of players last year that were drafted from college and actually played in the majors last year. You know, it's kind of great.
Well, they make so much. There's so much money invested that you want to make sure that you're giving the seasoning and blah blah blah. That you don't ruin these kids. At the same point, like talent is talent, man. And you know,
I love that the Braves have like brought up young kids. I wish they were even more aggressive with it. But bringing up Acuna and Ozzie when they were 19, 20 years old, you know, like that was big. You know, I love that, and I wish they were more aggressive in pushing kids up because, look, players don't want to hear this, but youth is the game now, for one, because youth is cheaper. I mean, let's be honest. Owners like the fact they don't have to pay young guys near as much money. But, two, they're better in a lot of ways. Like, unless you're, like, elite top 15 type player, and you're over the age of 30, unless you're – elite top 15 pitcher, top 15 batter, then you're replaceable. You know what I mean? Like you're not creating so much value that a young guy can't pretty much produce 80-90% of what you're producing at like 1/100th of the cost. You know, like so it doesn't make any sense not to.
Yeah. No, and you know, there's a part of it too where there's an adjustment period for guys who are college, like okay, not only are you coming out, you're a couple years older, but when's the last time you swung a wooden bat even?
Sure,
some of these guys play in off-season leagues where they can. Some guys haven't. And a guy like Seth Beer, I like watching Seth Beer when I'd see him in college because I'm like, awesome name, and the dude just mashes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, pretty, he's like my kind of ball player. He kind of seemed like a rec league softball player because, you know, there was no like nuance to his game. It was like, I hit dingers, and my name is Beer. I'm like, this guy's awesome.
Right.
I got no idea if he can hit major league pitching, and I'm sure most scouts probably felt the same way, you know, like Look, we have people that look at Ronald Acuna's swing and still to this day say it's objectively long. And,
yeah.
I mean, so what does anybody know about anything in baseball? You know, baseball is a ridiculously hard sport to play. And so honestly, I would just go through a Baseball America and be like, yeah, I'll draft that guy, that guy, that guy. Just go through the list because they got as much shot of being right as anybody else.
Maybe they're keeping them in the minors, JT, to teach them how to have opinions on, like, social issues.
Of course.
Because, exactly, like, you know, everyone looks to – apparently now it's the thing that everyone expects their sports franchises and players to have deep civic responses anytime something goes on, because that's who I look to, is the dumb jock that's done nothing but play a sport his entire life to get my revelation on how life should work out.
The guy that coasted through high school and never touched college textbook in his life.
Like, he's done nothing but swing a stick his entire life, but hey, let's get his opinion because that really matters.
here's the thing. Appreciate the athletes that are nuanced and that have are thoughtful. And
I guess that was prejudice of me, because there's some that actually are thoughtful.
Yeah, but don't anticipate because you're an athlete that you have to be a deep thinker, because a lot of these guys aren't. A lot of these guys, as Josh will tell you, are dumb baseball players.
Yeah.
And that's true in every sport.
They're also – you want to talk about privilege. You want to meet any baseball player, black, white, whatever.
Sure.
They've always been the best guy in the room. Like, the most liked guy, because when you're that good, you're the most liked guy. Like, they've all been – the best until they get to the pros, really, they have always been the best player on their team. Always. Right. So they're a bunch of jerks, the majority of them.
How many times have you heard this story where you go, oh, I went to high school with so-and-so, you know, big athlete.
Uh-huh.
And he was a jerk.
I hear
it from family members of mine that went to high school with Jake Fromm, who had all, you know, every maybe his publicist or whatever, but every public appearance he's had from his time at University of Georgia has made him look outstanding. My cousin swears he was a jerk. And I'm like, well, it's, you know, maybe he's having a bad day, or maybe he was a 16-year-old kid who was the high school quarterback, because I'm pretty sure every high school quarterback was a bit of a jerk.
Speaking from personal experience, I also tend to think anyone that's a lot better than me at anything is a jerk.
I'm deflecting on them that they're a jerk, because he must be like the quarterback and like not
he's
another
gotta
team
have
movie
something wrong with him. He can't be that good. Like,
yeah,
it's
he
not
can't
possible.
Be perfect. Yeah, like Tim Tebow must do something really, really bad in private time. Because
Tim Tebow probably
perfect.
Yeah, Tim Tebow probably like worships Satan and
he's got
and
dead hookers in his trunk or something.
Right, exactly. That's what everyone expects, you know.
He's been to Epstein's Island. I know it. I know he has. He's actually a really, really good guy. And part of that is you're just deflecting.
Like Dale Murphy has 4 wives and 30 children that no one knows about, you know, just because he's a Mormon.
Yeah, Dale Murphy is everything you think Dale Murphy is. I mean, he's a clean cut, like squeaky clean Mormon guy that doesn't drink caffeine.
And I'll be honest,
beer,
we're not
cigarettes.
Saying every, like, we're being generalized here. We're not saying every last player is these things, but there is a tendency when you grow up with the same things and you've always been the best that people defer to you and give you whatever you want because they wanted you to do something for them.
Yeah,
you know?
and so then expecting these guys to turn around and have some
deep empathetic,
thoughtful response to things is crazy. I mean, every now and then you'll have an athlete that is a great spokesperson for not only their team, but their entire league, and somebody that's at the forefront of things and does a great job with those kind of things. Look, Michael Jordan was a great spokesman for the National Basketball Association. One thing Michael Jordan is not good at is making these kind of things, because he doesn't feel comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. He knows, as he said in the documentary, there's a lot that I don't know. And, you know, his mom was like, why don't you say more stuff? Well, mom, I don't know a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't watch the news, and I don't know. I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. And also, too, just because they play sports doesn't mean these people are okay with being in public. They may not want to make public statements in front of people. Yeah. They may not be okay. The last time I saw Freddie Freeman make a public statement was at Chop Fest, and he almost cried about Chris Medlin.
Right.
Maybe he doesn't like making public, you know, talking in public. There's usually somebody else, even though you might be the face of the franchise, maybe there's somebody else who might be better behind a microphone or composing a statement that might not.
Yeah. And again, why do we care what a baseball player says about anything, period? Like, unless it's about baseball, then why are we focused on them? It doesn't matter. No. Like I saw a lot of people like really mad that the Braves were slow to put out a statement condemning racism. And I'm like, they're a baseball team, people.
Does that mean the Here's the thing. No one wants to be the team 32 that hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
Does this mean you... So you're pro-racism? Like, no, right, we just have
exactly.
A... Oh, look, our Twitter guy is sick today. I don't have the password.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's simple stuff like that. And I get it. Like, no one has to do it, but it's like when you stand up in church, okay? All of a sudden, you realize you're in that last worship song that you start by sitting, and then, like, one person stands, and then, like, oh, I guess we're doing the standing thing now. And
or
no one wants, or no one be the last person sitting down. And
what about clapping,
like,
at a graduation speech, Doug? You're on the fifth speech.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, we've all clapped. This guy's already been up once, and we clap for him. He's saying something again, and you get that, like...
Yeah.
You get like that little half stuttered start, yeah. and then a few people start clapping, and then it takes like 30 seconds, then everybody's clapping, you know, just because everybody's afraid to be the one left out. Yeah, exactly
right.
What you're saying.
And that's exactly what PR is. This is exactly what they have somebody paid to make sure they do these kind of things, that they relate with the public, and just make sure, hey, just so you guys know, we're all good people that work here. And every company has those, every franchise has those. And okay, okay, that's good that you have that, and we don't think you're a bunch of racists. We're glad you clarified that you're not, and that's awesome. And then you just move along.
You know,
is what it is. But don't expect athletes, just because athletes don't feel comfortable saying it, don't hold that against them. It's okay. Not everybody has to come out and make a statement about it. Like, it's, you know, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, if that's not your thing, then that's okay. You don't have to make it seem like they're a bad person because they haven't said anything publicly, because honestly, who's asking for what Freddie Freeman has to say right now?
Exactly.
Right?
I don't understand why people are. You know what I mean? Like, I guess because
Wolf Blitzer is on CNN right now. Honestly, the silence of Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman
speaks
volumes right now.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't. He's you know, he's in shock watching everything going on in this country like everybody else is.
Exactly.
And by the way, he's also like kind of Canadian too. So
yeah, he's speaking. He's like Canadian lives matter. Yeah. I'm Russian. I don't know why I did that in Russian. I just did.
What?
You know,
that is the best Freddie Freeman impression I've ever heard.
Canadian lives matter,
Titty.
Canadian lives matter.
I am Freddie Freeman. I play your baseball.
I am Freddie Freeman.
He's Borat all of a sudden. Yak Zimash. The Braves will have great success this year with me, Freddie Freeman, at first base.
Do you have any
now
vodka?
He's Mario. I came and became Mario all of a sudden.
We need more vodka.
It's me, Freddie Freeman.
My wrist is hurting. I need more vodka.
Wow.
I don't know where this is going.
Wow, Ken.
Wow. So, the players were not happy about the 50-game thing, so I don't think it's going to happen that way. But they did accept the divisions part of the proposal. I don't know if you saw this, but players were fine with, like, the redivided divisions of baseball. So, like, the Braves would be playing in the Central.
I mean, if you're going to play, like, 50, 60 games, does it, like, it's not going to feel like a season anyways. You might as well get silly with it, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, remember that time we were in the Central and we played a bunch of... I'm Skip Carey all of a sudden.
I noticed that.
And, it's hi, whatever. Skip. Yeah, we played the Pirates for 20 games, and then we played the Reds, and a fan from Dunwoody caught that ball.
That's terrible. That's terrible, JT.
I don't know. It is good. Terrible. That's terrible. Knucklehead. That's a knucklehead impression of Skip Carey.
Skip Carey.
I don't know what we're doing here.
I don't know. It's gone off the rails. Welcome to our combination, man.
But if you're going to be silly with it, and we play, say, a 60-game schedule, who cares? Well, that's not even the right divisions. It's 60 games. Like, at this point, like, we're just playing. Like, we're just playing ball.
Just playing. Just playing
ball. And if it
ball.
Means yep. the batter leans down and puts their head on the bat and spins around 10 times before each at bat, and we run to third instead of first, who cares? We're just playing ball. And rules be darned. The regular, we'll get back to regular baseball the next year. This is just, we're getting something out of this year. We're trying to get a champion, and we're trying to give you guys something to watch.
And what's
and
sad
we should
about
also
that,
just be appreciative of it.
What's sad about that is if they had a brain, they could have, like, really capitalized. I mean, like, the KBO's playing. They're playing baseball. Yeah. Iowa is playing high school baseball right now. So, so, like, their governor said, do it. And their sports are back open, wide open in Iowa. They could have really capitalized on a moment where, man, there was such an empty void, and now it's too late. It's too late.
They played hot potato with the negotiating, and well, we want this, well, we want this, well, we want that, and both sides. And I'm not picking one or the other. I mean, both of them, just because now, I mean, it's going to come to the point where you're trying to do this silly season, and baseball fans are going to watch baseball regardless. I'm not talking about baseball fans. I'm not talking about, you know, the people we know
that are friends of ours.
I'm talking about casual sports fans who are like sports in general. Like,
which is
there's
like
people that are like
75% of fans are that, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's people that say, oh, I'm a Red Sox fan, but I don't really just watch. I watch the Red Sox, but I'm not going to watch the Pirates and Reds play an afternoon game just because it's on.
Right.
Now, we know people that will do that. They're Braves fans, but they'll watch anything. They don't care. They'll watch all baseball. Majority of sports fans are just going to watch something that's entertaining to them. And so you're going to have this baseball silly season going up against playoff basketball and playoff hockey, which is going to be far more energetic, far more fast-paced, as it naturally is as a sport. But then you're like, okay, these games don't really matter, but these games matter a whole lot. So baseball's already going to find himself kind of behind the eight ball in that regard, even if they all get started at the same time.
Yeah,
if the NHL and NBA are already started and already going towards crowning champions, man, that's going to be hard to come in third place there and be like, hey, well, what about us? You know, baseball's back. But, yeah, but it's weird baseball. It's not even, you know.
Yeah, it's like basketball. You know, you're basically playing basketball now. You know,
right? Yeah, it's gonna feel different. No, you know, and I'm not talking about like. Baseball people are going to watch it regardless, but baseball has a hard enough time drawing in casual fans that aren't baseball fans when it's the regular World Series.
Right.
You'll see a regular World Series game get their butts kicked by an NFL game all the time.
Yeah.
A playoff baseball game and a Sunday night football game or Monday night football is winning 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, the shame is that if they had jumped on this, they didn't have the competition, and people were thirsty.
Right. And then you had a window to win people over and go, oh, baseball is not as boring as I thought it would be. And they're watching it because it's the only show on.
Do you know right now how many people would be dying to watch baseball games rather than news coverage?
Yeah.
Insanity over and over and over.
Certainly.
You know,
like, and this is when you would get casual fans that are like, hey, I've watched more baseball now than I ever have, and it's not as bad as I thought it was.
Right, they become true fans. Like, they would kind of fall in love with the game, possibly, you know?
Yeah, because there may be people that are like, I've never really committed to a team. Of course, I know what baseball is, but I've never really, you know, attached myself to it. Because I think for most men, most people you know are not, like, sports, like, atheists, where they don't believe in a team. Like,
right.
Like, there's a couple people, like, with golf or maybe with NASCAR. Like, you may not have a real favorite driver. You just watch the race. You just watch golf.
I've slowly become
most
that
part,
with the NFL myself.
Yeah.
It's because of fantasy
football. But for the most part, if a man is watching a sport, and women too, it's because I am a such-and-such fan. And I watch I'm a Yankees fan, so I'll watch Yankees games, and then I'll check out the Red Sox games because I want to make sure they lose.
Yeah.
You know, you've got rivals, and you understand it. It's not like, oh, I like all teams equally. That usually doesn't happen that way. So in order for someone to be a fan that's really invested in it, they've got to connect to a team. And if you had a chance to be the only sport in town, you've got a chance to showcase all these teams. Maybe you grab them as casual fans that have never connected to a team. All of a sudden, they said, man, I love these Cincinnati Reds. These are cool players.
Yeah.
I like the way the stadium looks. I like the way these guys look. This guy's got a cool name. I'm going to learn more about them. All of a sudden, they're spending money. They're buying the MLB package. They're doing the things that fans do. All of a sudden, you've got somebody.
Yeah.
You've got somebody hooked now. And once you start speaking with your wallet, you're in. Because you're investing your money. That's where your heart is now.
They just need to add cheerleaders. Like, if we're going to go to a
15 series,
just add cheerleaders.
Also, cheerleaders would also help. I don't know why baseball doesn't have those.
To be honest, I don't know why the NFL does.
Cheerleaders are very overrated because, like, no one looks at the cheerleaders like in a
sexual
manner.
They don't show them on TV anymore. And then, like, all their outfits have been so weirdly sexualized till they're not sexy anymore. Like, they're like, let's see how much skin we can 100% safely show, but we're 100% sure it's safe. And at that point, everyone's like, I don't know.
Or they show them at the worst times. Have you noticed they'll show them at the worst times? Like, they'll come back for commercial, and the cheerleaders are in front of the TV, and they're like, go Dogs! And I'm like, we are down 24 points right
now.
Don't tell me, go, like, stop it.
Nobody
they're smiling.
Cares.
Go dog, go Georgia! I'm like, it's 24-0. What's wrong with you?
You
quit
should
smiling.
Just be, like, crying on the sideline right now. We're getting
stomped
by.
Should be like, this sucks! This game sucks!
Right, we're getting stomped by Alabama for the fourth
Alabama
time. You know,
blows!
Like,
suck
yes,
it, Saban!
Exactly.
Giving the finger to the TV.
That's what
my cheerleaders
did
do.
Did you ever know any guys that were cheerleaders?
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine from high school was a cheerleader at Elon University.
I had a buddy that was a UGA cheerleader.
Oh, yeah. And, dude, they're strong as an ox, man. Holy cow.
And he said it was by far the easiest way to get girls has ever found.
My buddy Dan said it was one of the best life decisions. Hopefully not still, because he's like married now, so I think that surpassed it. But at the time, it was like one of the best decisions he ever made. It got him in extreme shape. He was originally the mascot, like, and then got into male cheerleading. All his friends were just the prettiest girls in the world, like all of them.
So the way it was described to me was there's only two types of men in the cheerleading game. One is the super gay guy that's like just embraced it. It was the place that he got his outlet, and he just owns it, you know, 100%.
Awesome. Yeah, man.
And then there's the player that's there, and the girls love him, but he's 100% there for one reason, if you really get down to it, and he's very proud of that reason, and he's just that guy. Like, he's 100% there for that reason, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Dan was never that way. Dan was never, like, a promiscuous kind of dude. I think Dan was just like, if I could be friends with anybody, I'd rather be friends with some of the football players and then, like, some really pretty cheerleaders.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not a bad philosophy at all. It's like, it's either that or, like, play video games with my dumb roommates in the dorm room. Like, what are...
He also said, where else can you legally grab a girl's butt every day? That was one of his philosophies.
And his bench press, like, tripled from, like, what it was in high school. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, they're
insanely strong. These guys
are... Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, their girls are little, but when you have to hold them in press for, like, you know...
Hold anybody by the bottom of their feet above your head and see how that feels, you know? It doesn't matter who they are. Like, try to hold your kid up by their feet over your head. And, like,
try to hold a cup. I'm 100% serious. Take a Mountain Dew bottle and try to hold it over your head for 1 minute.
Yeah.
And tell me...
30 seconds in, you're dying.
You're dying. You're like, I'm dead. Like, I'm done. I'm sorry. Quit, you know? It's really
and then
funny.
You factor in other things like doing back handsprings and stuff like there is no way anybody can teach me to do a back handspring. It is not happening. There's no possible way. Like, so whenever I see people doing those kind of things, I'm very impressed. Like, anybody can do like a standing backflip. Holy cow, what is that? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because I can just tell just by me jumping in the air how hard that is.
There's like a video somewhere I saw not long ago, it went viral, of this guy that did a backflip from sitting on his bottom. So he's like sitting on his bottom with his legs straight out.
How in the world?
And he springs straight up. His feet never touch the ground. He springs straight up and does a backflip just by like flexing his
legs. And
lands
it?
No. Doesn't just land it. Cuts three more backflips out of it and lands it. Hardcore.
It's insane. Yeah, that's nuts.
Can you imagine me doing that, JT? My body.
Absolutely could not.
I'm just saying, like.
No, that's not good. I see that happening. No, it'd be quite.
See, that's the great thing about the NFL is you see guys bigger than me do that, except it's unintentional. Oh. You know, he's like, he didn't know it was coming, but he just cut three sideways somersaults and landed upside down on his neck. That was pretty awesome. Way to go, NFL. Oh, man. So, JT, it's summer.
Yes.
The heat is on. The heat is
on. It's on. Beverly Hills Cop. Great movie.
That is a great movie. Which is the best Beverly Hills Cop before I continue my question?
I am partial to... I like two, but it's hard to go... Like, one is solid. Like, one could stand alone if you just said...
So, let's see. One is
solo
the...
Solo movie. It could go one.
One is the one where... Which one's that? The one where they're shipping drugs?
Yeah, and the bad guy's henchman is Mike from Breaking Bad.
Ah.
Like, before he's bald.
Yeah,
you know, he's kind of
gotcha.
Come over. And, of course, the great Judge Reinhold is in all of them.
Now, two is the one with
the
girl.
Is that the one with Bridget Nielsen?
Yeah, Bridget Nielsen, and they're, like, counterfeit money or stealing money or something.
Yeah,
and
something like that.
And then the third one is the Disney World one, right? Or whatever.
Yes,
like.
The third one was the one that came out in, like, the mid-90s almost. Like, I want to say, like, 94.
Yeah. I think I'm with you that two had the best storyline, one was the funniest.
But one was the funniest, and if you could scrap, like, one stands alone, like, you don't even need two and three. Like, you could ball them up, throw them away. One was stand alone. Kind of like the movie Bad Boys. Two and three, I don't know if you've seen the new one, Bad Boys for Life.
I have
not. It's cute. It's like they're growing old, they're becoming grandparents, they're getting old, and it's cute, and it's ha-ha fun. You know, it's got some cute moments.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
on the whole, if you were like an alien landed here and wanted to know what a Will Smith action movie looked like, I'd just show him Bad Boys.
Yeah.
You know, kind of same with Beverly Hills Cop. Like, you want to see an 80s cop movie? To me, there's Beverly Hills Cop and there's 48 Hours.
48 Hours,
like the buddy cop fun movies, you know. Yeah. Those are the two. I prefer 48 Hours, but...
It's a little more raucous, yeah.
It's a little more raunchy. It's got a little more dirty humor, yeah. You know.
But, it's also got Nick Nolte, and Nick Nolte makes everything
better. But that's the great pair, the salty old veteran and the young, brash rookie, you know.
Where do you put Point Break? Is that considered 90s and not
80s? Point Break is like their own... Whoa, that's like a fever dream.
Is that a 90s movie or late 80s? 90s probably?
I think it's 89. Okay. Now, I will say Point Break, the reason I don't really say buddy cop movie is because they don't do a lot of stuff together other than a couple of scenes with him and Gary Busey. What was his name in that movie? Oh, it's going to drive me nuts. Other than him telling him to give me two. But when you're talking bank robbers, surfing, jumping out of an airplane, like it is
Patrick
hard.
Swayze looking hot, you know.
And Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is in there. He's in the gang.
Also, that was the first movie that I remember that rocked a girl with short hair that I thought was cute.
Pulled it off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was probably just because I was at the age where I was desperate that any girl was cute. But I'm just saying, like,
sure.
You know.
But it's one of those movies where you remember it being awesome, and then sometimes you go back and watch it as a grown up, and you're like, "Who greenlit this movie? Like,
yeah,
who signed off on this thing?
Right?
Because it's crazy."
So that's a theme of Patrick Swayze movies. Have you ever noticed that?
Like, they're insane.
Like every Patrick Swayze movie, if you go back and really watch it, you're like, "Who greenlit this?" Like, Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Like who greenlit? It's amazing.
The dancing instructor? Who goes to summer camp with their whole family? That's weird.
Yeah. Now, what was funny was, like, I don't know if you've watched the movies that made us and that kind of thing, but, like, they do a detailed explanation, and they made that movie for, like, almost no money. Like, it cost them almost nothing to make that movie, and then it just killed. The music score made it.
Score is what it is, and women.
Yeah, that's
mainly. Every woman between the age of 28 and 38, roughly. Dirty Dancing's in their top three movies. I don't know your wife's favorite. Sin strikes me as someone who wouldn't be on the Dirty Dancing train.
No, she's not. Right.
Nikki is. I guarantee it. Yeah. I guarantee it. I can say it without Josh even being here. I guarantee Nikki is, because I know my wife is. And it just seems one of those things where, like, girls just freaking love Dirty Dancing. And I have no idea why.
As a kid, I liked it because it was sexy but clean enough that I was allowed to watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so, like,
right.
It was one of those movies that my parents didn't freak out that I watched it, but you were, like, able to see girls, like, the water scene with him and her.
It's a little bit misleading. Like, when you're a kid, you're like, ooh, Dirty Dancing. I'm going to see something in this. And then you watch it and you're like, oh.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's not really all that dirty. Yeah.
It's not the dirty I was thinking it was going to be. They all have clothes on.
Oh, like there's no booty shaking. No.
Excited like, oh, Dirty Dancing. Like, oh, like you're finding like some secret videotape, and it's
best scene of the whole movie is the young guy dropping the watermelons and like catching it with his toe. Do you remember that? That's like the best scene of the whole movie. I'm like, how does he do that? That's awesome. Like that's a gift. It's a gift. Anyway,
so I didn't see Dirty Dancing till late in life, and I remember watching it going, this is what all these girls talk about all these years? Dirty Dancing? And I'm like, this is...
I'm telling you, man, okay. Patrick Swayze makes weird movies. Roadhouse? Again, how did it ever get a green light? You know, like, it's a weird story. The story is ridiculously insane. Dumb.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie. Like, as a guy, it's the ultimate guy movie. But, like, story-wise, it's horrible. It's terrible.
But this was the decade of cocaine, and all these movie execs were coked out. Like, have you ever seen the movie Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone? It's the worst thing I've ever seen. He's a truck driver and his kid gets kidnapped.
Yeah, I have seen it.
He has to get him back through the arm wrestling tournament.
I have seen it, yes.
What? Huh? We'll give you some bag if you could beat us in arm wrestling? What is that even? Who does that?
This is
so strange.
What was the one? The other Stallone movie where he drives the old car. Cobra. Cobra yes. is fantastic.
I like Cobra.
It's completely
it's kind of
terrible
those,
story. Like,
it's one of those no nonsense. Like, I'm just gonna shoot things.
It's got the dude with the knife, and everybody. He's like, you know, the anarchist gonna take over the world, and
all these movies
Cobra's
are weird.
Down,
and you know? I don't know how we got on this subject. Something about Beverly Hills Cop.
I don't know
because we said the heat is on. It's summertime. And here we are talking about all this stuff.
Welcome to Not Combination, right? Like, that's how this show works.
I don't know. But yeah, as far as 80s action movies, to me, number one is Die Hard. And then I'd say 48 Hours. And then Point Break, number three. Just because Point Break has so much craziness that it's hard to
80s action.
Put it all together.
I don't even know if I can effectively name all 80s action movies. Does Top Gun fall in there?
I think Top Gun's like 89. It's late 80s.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Also kind of homoerotic. I think.
RoboCop. First Blood is in there.
Yeah.
Rambo First Blood. Another terrible movie with no storyline.
Because, okay, you think Rambo's a good guy. Go watch the first movie. All he does is just like walk into a police office and just shoot everybody.
You know what?
And you're like, this is the guy I'm supposed to be cheering for? It's really weird.
I have to throw out one that I think might be better than anything we've named so far. And that's hard to do. But Lethal Weapon 1.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
It's up
there. With big-haired Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah, big-haired Mel Gibson. Psycho Mel Gibson at the
time. Yes. When he,
like, before they kind of
cuffs
the
guy
down. Yeah.
And jump, makes him jump off the building. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. What were their... Oh, my gosh. What are they? I'm blanking on their names in the... The two guys... Oh my gosh, this is gonna kill me. What do people do before?
Murtaugh
and Riggs.
Riggs,
yes,
there we go.
We
can do
exactly
this.
Yes, we got it. Okay. Yes, okay. Yeah, Buddy Cop, you gotta go Lethal Weapon. That's definitely that. Yeah, we gotta skip that because we didn't anticipate going over these things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was no research.
Missed.
There was no research done.
Yeah.
Now, okay.
As far as that goes, that's number one.
Okay, so crazy movies of the 80s. What about Kurt Russell, Big Trouble, Little China? Top.
That one, yes. Big Trouble, Little China and
it's fantastic.
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Both of those are nuts movies.
But
that,
Big Trouble, Little China is by far the most insane, fun, ridiculous movie ever. It's like, you know what it is? It's an anime movie. That
basically,
they turned into a live action show. Like,
it's
really
kind
that kind
of
insanity.
An early 80s version of the Kill Bill movies.
Yeah.
It's about loose kung fu kind of stuff, silliness going around. Because the Kill Bill movies really stand out from the Tarantino movies, because most of the Tarantino movies are so grody and gruff and
grinder house type junk.
Yeah.
You know?
Whereas Kill Bill is like colorful and flashy and. You know, it's really, like, cinematically fun to watch, even if, you know, it's 100 samurais getting their heads chopped off. You're like, oh, neat.
It's like, ooh, that's pretty. That's a lot of death, but it's
looks
pretty.
Cool. It's fun, yeah.
Yeah.
You have a good time watching it. Whereas, like, if you watch, like, Django Unchained, you don't have any fun watching that at all.
No. Hateful Eight is just brutal. It just...
Yeah, not fun. I'll have
you
fun
might laugh
watching
at
Pulp
certain
Fiction.
Parts. You might laugh at some parts, but it's not, like, fun.
But Big Trouble in Little China is super fun. Yeah. It just... Doesn't seem to make any sense, but
is that every okay? Got it. Buddy Cop, another Buddy Cop.
Oh, okay,
highly underrated Buddy Cop because most people forget about it. Sylvester Stallone.
I knew you were going
and
here.
Kurt Russell.
Tango and Cash. Tango and Cash. You see some man butt in that movie, which is a weird thing. you see their butts,
but they drive the super tank. Truck thing. Yeah. It's like they're driving basically Gravedigger, basically kitted out with weapons.
Tango and Cash was highly underrated because it's behind Lethal Weapon and it's behind the Beverly Hills Cop and it's behind probably 48 Hours and definitely Point Break, but it's in there. But it doesn't have the over the top like sexiness and fun of like Lethal Weapon or Point Break does.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm jumping around a little bit here, JT, but...
Oh, now we're jumping around? We've been jumping around for 15 minutes.
But going back to the insaneness of Patrick Swayze movies, right? Do you remember Steel Dawn?
I remember Red Dawn. Was he in that?
He was. That was when he was
kid. Yeah, I thought
but
it was in
Steel
kid.
Dawn is like an apocalyptic future sort of movie. With
don't know that one.
Oh, you got to watch it sometime. Yeah, that's a special one. Whew. Patrick Swayze with a beard. Yeah, Steel Dawn.
Yeah. Oh, even late in his life, he made weird movies. Remember, he was in Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Which is one of the weirdest movies you're ever going to see in your life. And Patrick Swayze.
Best Patrick Swayze movie of all time. Oh, no, actually, okay, we'll do that one first, and then we're going to do Kurt Russell.
I can only pick one. It's not a draft. Pick one. Live with it.
Yep.
Best Patrick Swayze movie of all time. Oh, man. I hate saying best because we've discussed numerous times that it's not good, but it's fun and I'll enjoy it. So I'm going to say Roadhouse.
Okay.
I feel weird saying best because I don't think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
I like it. And I know a lot of people that like it. So.
God, this is tough because there's a lot, like you say, there's a lot of good ones. Black Dog, Next of Kin.
Black Dog, Randy Travis was in that one.
The Outsiders.
And Meatloaf. Wasn't Meatloaf in that one?
Yeah,
too?
Meatloaf was in it, yeah.
Outsiders had everybody in it. Outsiders, that movie was like...
Ghost. But
I totally forgot about Ghost.
And Red Dawn, of course, was good.
Yeah.
But I think I gotta go with Point Break. I think Point Break for me is... It's probably not his best role, but
yeah,
it's probably my favorite of his.
Silver Bodie. Oh yeah,
gotta catch he one was, last wave, man.
He's not coming back. I've always seen that more as a Keanu movie than a Swayze movie.
It's just, but without Swayze, Johnny Utah. Without Swayze, it doesn't work.
Yeah, without Bodie, there is no Johnny Utah. Right, we know everybody understands.
And I can't
it.
Imagine anyone else playing that part. Like,
oh like, no, you can't.
Like he was larger than life. Okay, so now. Patrick Swayze, somehow in my life, him and Kurt Russell have always gotten mixed up, even though they're nothing alike.
They look similar. I could see that.
But best Kurt Russell movie?
Oh, it's Tombstone.
Okay. You're right.
No doubt.
It is Tombstone.
There's no argument.
Best.
There's no. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to tell me Escape from New York?
Best
I mean,
80s. Best 80s. Yeah.
80s, Escape from New York.
Okay.
That's fun. I mean, that's. And Escape from L.A. later on in the mid-90s
Big
is not
Trouble,
bad either.
So not Tango and Cash, not Big Trouble in Little China.
I say I like Escape from New York or underrated The Thing.
Ah, yes. That's actually a scary movie in its time.
In this time, yeah. It's
it's
like most
now,
scary movies, it doesn't age very well.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't. Escape from L.A., Stargate. Stargate! I forgot he was in Stargate. Yep. Yeah, that was a good... I like the show better than the movie, though. Golly, he was in a lot of movies. Do you remember Soldier?
I don't remember Soldier.
Oh, it's a good one. It's kind of like he's a robot, futuristic soldier. Yeah, it's sci-fi kind of. I can understand why you didn't like it.
I do remember early 90s because I wanted to see this in movie theaters because it looked awesome. And my mom wouldn't take me because I was just six. It was Backdraft. And then I finally got to see it on TV, like a free HBO weekend.
It's 100%
well, in my when I first saw it, I was like 7 or 8, and I was like, "Oh, fire! It's cool." Yeah, you see it later on, and you're like, "Oh, not as cool as I thought it was."
All right, out of his whole life, I'm as good as Tombstone is. I got to throw this one out there. So it's a dark horse, though. You might not. I don't know how you feel about it. 3,000 miles to Graceland.
I saw that once. That's the one that's got Kevin Costner in it, too.
Yeah, yeah. And
The Elvis impersonators.
Right, yeah.
In Vegas. It wasn't bad. It was fine. If I remember what I remember about it, I mean...
It's no Tombstone quality-wise. Don't get me wrong. I'm not implying that it is. But it's strong.
I don't even think... I'm not one of those people either that says Tombstone is like my top 5 films of all time. I'm not as big on Westerns as other people are. Mm. I'm more of a mob movie guy than a Western guy, just my taste. But, I mean, it's up there with... I mean, Tombstone, Unforgiven. There's some others that, put up there. But, some people tell you Tombstone is, like, the greatest film of all time. And I'm like, it's all right. It's got some moments that, like the train station where, and hell is coming with me. And makes you want to be like, yeah.
I'm your Huckleberry,
Yeah. I mean, it's got a couple lines in it where you're like, run through a brick wall moments.
That's Val Kilmer's best movie, by far.
Oh, yeah. As far as his performance in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can like Top Gun better than Tombstone if you want to, but Val Kilmer was better in Tombstone.
Right.
Than
that's not Val Kilmer's best movie. Heat, you know, I mean, Val Kilmer, it's a good movie. He's Batman. That's not a good movie. It's not a good movie.
You Batman Forever? What?
I'm just saying.
You kidding me?
Val Kilmer wasn't the problem with that movie, though.
No, Val Kilmer, the other good role he had was when he played Jim Morrison in The Doors.
That's true.
No, he was really good in that.
Now,
he
did you
exactly
watch
like
Kurt Russell as,
Captain Ron?
Captain Ron!
Yeah!
Yes!
Captain Ron was awesome.
Ron. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, man, Captain Ron's a great movie. That's fun.
So I was going to start this conversation somewhere, and I have no idea where I was going and don't remember. So I guess this
you
is
said it was summer, and the heat is on, and then we sung Glenn Fry's The Heat Is On together, and that got us into Beverly Hills
here
Cop.
Here we are. Hey, thanks for listening to Accommodation. JT, thanks for hanging out with me, buddy. It's been a blast.
Heat is on.
Next thing you know, you're going to hear
Glenn Fry from the Eagles. Favorite Eagles song? All right, quick, before we go. Ken, what's your favorite Eagles song, and then what's your favorite song by someone that was in the Eagles that, you know, was their post-Eagles
I don't career. Know. Oh, dear God.
You don't know. You can't say Hotel California like off
oh,
the top
God,
of your head.
No. Hotel California's not even close to the top. Can it be, like, actually a cover? My favorite Eagles song is them covering
sure.
someone
yeah,
else.
Yeah, as long as the Eagles do it, yeah.
Seven Bridges Road. This awesome. Is my favorite Eagles song, and they are covering someone else, but it's
what still... about your favorite song by a guy in the Eagles, but he's no longer in the Eagles?
You know what? I don't know. I know, like, the singers, but I don't know enough of their songs, like, connected to them directly to make that call. Like, I know...
Make that judgment.
Because, like, I guarantee you I know a ton of their songs, but, like, when I was growing up, the radio didn't always tell you who the person was.
Right. Oh, afterwards. You've heard a bunch of them. You've
right.
heard, like,
exactly.
a ton of Don Henley songs.
Oh, for sure.
And Joe,
right.
And Joe Walsh. Mine is Eagles song is Life in the Fast Lane. Just the guitar riff
song.
Is awesome.
It is a good song.
And then I would say Life's Been Good by Joe Walsh is my favorite non-post or post-Eagles song of anybody in the Eagles.
So, yeah. You got to go way back to... way before Hotel California to get their best stuff. You know,
Hotel California to me is so overdone. It's
it's a good song, but like it's been played to death and killed.
It's the American version of Stairway to Heaven. I'm like, I've heard this 1,000 times. So like,
Witchy Woman is
very good, very catchy,
very underrated. It's a good song. It's
Tequila Sunrise is awesome. Lion Eyes is good.
Already Gone might be my favorite.
That's good too.
Yeah.
The Eagles are one of those guys where you're like, I think I like a couple Eagles songs, and then you put on their greatest hits or something, and then you realize, like, dude, I know all these.
Shoot,
I've heard them all.
I hooked up their Spotify channel the other day, and I played all the way through it from disc one till, you know, now. Their discs back to back to back, I played it. And, like, by far, their early stuff was their best as far as their sound.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had some better guitar riffs and better known songs a little later. But, like, just quality, like, I wonder... Now, this is a crazy question, JT, but I wonder how different the Beatles would... The Eagles would be if Duane Allman doesn't die. And I know Duane Allman did not play in the Eagles. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stupid. But... the Eagles were not that far stylistically from the Allman Brothers in their early career.
Early Eagles,
And then it, like, divided and went kind of way different directions. Yeah. And I wonder how much the Eagles and the Allman Brothers would have sounded alike later on if Duane stays alive and you don't end up with, like, I don't know, commercialized Allman Brothers.
Right.
You know, like Allman Brothers became not very
crappy.
Interesting.
Really boring.
You know what they are? They're like the original Dave Matthews Band. Like they are.
Don't besmirch Dave Matthews Band.
I'm just saying, like they're the original jam band that's really fun to listen to. But when Duane was alive, they were more than that.
They had the extra gear.
They
had the extra level. When you take him off the page, it was just ordinary 5.5 minute rock music.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like just a good jam song, and it's fun to listen to, but it's not.
It wasn't Whipping Post anymore. It was
no, right.
Now it's just, you know, another dorky song. Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Non-Combination Podcast Show. That's JT Holton. JT, thanks for hanging out.
I don't know what just happened the last, like, 25 minutes. We just started talking about movies. I'm sorry.
Hey,
whatever.
Yeah. I think I blacked out. Be safe, world. It's a little weird out there in the world right now. We love all of you. And be safe.
Take care of yourselves and each other.
And each other. Be nice.
That was Jerry Springer that said that.
Jerry.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.